Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com and our expository study of the Psalms. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com. That's bbfohio@protonmail.com. Or you can mail your letter along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. Donations can also be made at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. We now begin this expository study of the Psalms. This is part one of two.
All right, our current events update. And that's what not supposed to happen, but that's what happens when your programmers are mediocre. CNN is fake. How many of you didn't already know that?
Yeah, I totally agree.
Quote-unquote journalists at CNN are nothing but Democrat Party operatives. James O'Keefe at the Veritas Project has tapes of their strategy sessions proving this. Now, we all knew it just by the content on CNN. But now in these strategy sessions, what's his name? Well, you'll see it here. Here's an example. No, the guy who's over the whole CNN thing. You'll see it. You're here right here.
Hey, Jeff Zucker, you there?
Jeff Zucker.
Hey, this is James O'Keefe. We've been listening to your CNN calls for basically 2 months, recording everything. Just wanted to ask you some questions if you have a minute. Do you still feel you're the most trusted name in news? Because I have to say, from what I've been hearing on these phone calls, I don't know about that. And we got a lot of recordings that indicate you're not really that independent of a journalist.
Thank you for your comments. So everybody, in light of that, I think what we'll do is we'll set up a new system, and we'll be back with you. We'll do the rest of the call a little bit later.
We're going to release those recordings today at 7 o'clock. So stay tuned. It's going to be fun.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good day.
Yeah, you too. So you just heard me talk to President of CNN, Jeff Zucker.
I don't know. How many you don't understand what you just saw?
I don't understand.
That was a conference call with Jeff Zucker, who's head of CNN, with all his fake journalists. And they were all talking about how they're going to slant the news and everything. James O'Keefe was listening in. He was on the conference call audio, and they had no idea. And they've got 2 months worth of tapes listening to this Zucker. I always get them mixed up because of Zuckerberg at Facebook. But this Zucker is head of CNN, and they are a propaganda organization. They are not a news organization. And this country needs to understand that we do not, Donald Trump is exactly right when he says we do not have a free press in this country. We have freedom of the press is protected by the Bill of Rights, but our news media is a controlled press. It is controlled by liberal/Democrat activists who then only hire fake journalists. And they only hire wolf blitzers, who said that, who would mark. You know, they only hire people like that who will do what they're told. And they don't have to really be pushed because they're liberals themselves. Better than 90% of all the people in our fake news media are registered Democrats. And you have only seen this kind of lopsided press in countries that are communist or otherwise run by socialists, dictators, that type of thing. In free countries, your press isn't supposed to be like ours. Yeah. And so when Donald Trump said that the news media is the enemy of the people, he was telling you the truth. Yeah. News media isn't. Our news media is. News media is supposed to be, what they call it, the fourth estate. In this country, we don't have one. We have some small groups who get the news out. And not all of them are conservative. There are some liberal groups who try to get the news out too. But they're killed. What was the name of that? We watched an interview of the guy who helped found a news organization, and then here all the 20 years later they fired him.
Yeah.
He was on Tucker, actually, I think. Mm-hmm. So we also have among liberals in this country hypocrites of Chinese COVID. COVID is real. The response is a hoax.
Exactly. Yeah. Amen.
Just like the flu is real. But if we had this kind of response for the flu, it would be a hoax.
And every day we catch new coronavirus hypocrites like this LA County supervisor who was caught dining outdoors just hours after literally voting to shut down dining outdoors in all of Los Angeles. And the Denver mayor who told everybody not to travel for Thanksgiving and then got caught at an airport traveling for Thanksgiving. The mayor of San Francisco just got caught violating social distancing policies, indoor dining with a large group of her friends, and this is not a joke, at the same fancy restaurant, the French Laundry, that Governor Gavin Newsom got caught at. And the mayor of San Jose, California, just issued an apology after getting caught having a bunch of family and friends over to his house for Thanksgiving, despite, as you know, telling everybody to cancel their Thanksgiving. I'm not sure who are bigger hypocrites, politicians or celebrities. And rapper Cardi B just apologized for having 40 people over to her house for Thanksgiving. Another celebrity who thankfully I haven't wasted a single brain cell remembering a song that she sings, named Rita Ora, got fined over in the UK for violating their social distancing policies by celebrating her birthday. The best one, however, is this Texas judge who literally issued the stay-at-home order for his county, but then broke that order to go and attend his grandson's birthday party and was photographed and got caught and given a $1,000 fine for violating the very order that he issued.
Good.
Yay.
Yeah, but you have to understand that's happening. There are literally tens of thousands of these people doing this stuff. And that's what happens under socialist slash communist rule.
Yes.
The elites in not just politics, but all their puppets in entertainment and news and all that, they live it up. And everybody else is given ration cards. That's everybody right. else is given rules to follow. But all those people that you just saw, they're like the Kremlin. And they are the people who live it up while the rest of everyone else in socialism, you want equality, what you get is equal suffering. That's what you get every time. Yeah, Mark.
That's living proof that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely.
But see, that's the good thing is they don't have absolute power yet.
Yeah.
And that's why you get caught in other countries, then they hunt you down and kill you so you don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you catch somebody doing something they're not supposed to do in those other countries. And that's what I'm telling you, that's where we are headed in the United States of America, and no one wants to believe it. But when the people of this country, now I do believe about 15, probably somewhere around 10 million votes for Joe Biden probably never even happened.
Yeah.
But there were still at least 60, 65 million people who voted for him.
Yep.
Those are your fellow citizens who are that wicked and stupid. And I say this with all seriousness. This may sound like I'm joking. I'm not. Satan and his liberal children lie.
Yep.
Now, you can be a conservative and go to hell, but liberals, by definition, are Christ-rejecting.
Yep.
They reject the Bible as infallible. They reject any absolute. They reject the Constitution. The battle isn't between conservative and liberal. It's between constitutionalists and traitors.
That's right.
Yep.
And until we start to define it in those terms and people understand what's going on, they think it's like Michigan versus Ohio State, and it's not. It is constitutionalists versus traitors. All the so-called liberals on the Supreme Court are traitors. They want to end our constitutional republic. They want to end the Constitution as we know it. And that's why they call it a living, breathing document. Because they can just, you know, make it say whatever they want. And they don't have to have... They'll scream about precedents when it comes to things like Roe v. Wade. But otherwise, no precedence matters. They just make up things, you know, as they want to.
Yeah.
Well, we see that described by Jesus... I know this is a no-no today. You're not ever supposed to tell anybody they're not a child of God. We're all children of God. Jesus disagrees with you if you say that. He says, ye are of your father, the devil. Jesus doesn't believe everyone's a child of God.
Amen.
And the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. That's why all the liberals kill babies. They are of their father, the devil, who is a murderer. And abode not in the truth. Liberals deny absolute truth. Because there is no truth in him. The end of the verse says, when he, referring to Satan, speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. So a liberal is a liar.
Amen.
A liberal will look you in the eye and tell you that they don't believe that baby in the womb is a baby. Unless they want it. Then suddenly it becomes a baby.
Yes.
That's because you're dealing with a liar. A liberal will tell you that they don't believe that the Constitution actually gives us the right to bear arms. Even though that's what the Constitution in the Bill of Rights actually says.
They have armed security.
Yeah, they themselves own weapons and have armed security, but they don't want you to have it. Because that's that model. The elite have their weapons and bodyguards. You are supposed to be disarmed and completely incapable of defending yourself. Yeah, that's right. Here's an example. How many of you have been taught what the liberal education, liberal entertainment, liberal news media, they all repeat that the church, and they want you to believe that's just Christianity or religion, opposed Galileo. Galileo is the man who is credited with defeating once and for all any idea of a flat earth, and that what we call heliocentricity today. Now, I'm gonna tell you a couple things about that that some of you will choose not to believe, probably. But the fact is, geocentricity and heliocentricity is equally scientific. And Albert Einstein agrees with me.
Yeah.
It's a matter of perspective. You can't prove that either body is actually sitting still because they're both moving.
Yeah. Amen.
According to science. And you can't prove which one actually is going around the other, scientifically. You can make a case and you can say you believe which is which. Well, that was the argument that Galileo sided with heliocentricity with. And you are told in all different areas, no matter what, you can turn on History Channel, PBS, you can go to school, you can be reading a book, you can be watching a cartoon. And they'll talk about how the church and religion opposed Galileo. And it's a lie. It's just historically not true. But see, you're not living in that day, so you're relying on people who have formed our books, written our books, and our curriculum in school and everything.
Yeah.
First of all, when they say the church, they actually mean the Roman Catholic Church. But they want to attack all Christianity. So the church gets blamed for what Roman Catholicism does. Yeah. And then they blame everybody. Even though us right here, if we lived in certain periods of time, we would be murdered by the Pope and the Inquisition. That's a fact. Just because of what you believe. They tie a Bible around your neck and burn you alive. But then we're blamed for the things that same church does, calling it the church. Well, that's the first lie. But the second is simply the reality. Galileo was actually attacked and countered not by the church, but by other scientists. Now, here's some documentation that just the tip of the iceberg. You can go research on your own. Just to show you, this guy, Jerry Bergman, he teaches at Northwest College up in Ohio. Archibald, Ohio, I think so. But he's got like several PhDs and everything from secular science departments and universities. And he showed this on a program we were watching called Origins, OriginsTV.org on the internet. And he quotes this out of the Skeptical Inquirer. That's not a Christian magazine, by the way, just so you know. University of New Mexico History of Science professor Timothy Moy, in an article titled Science, Religion, and the Galileo Affair. The date of the magazine is 2001. he concluded that the truth is very different than what we've all been taught. This is his quote. It is more historically accurate to conclude that the main opponents of the new Copernican position were academicians. Is that, say that right? Academicians?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Teaching science in the universities. And that much, if not most, of Galileo's support came from church officials. In other words, you go read the documents from that era, from that time, you will find that Galileo was supported by Christians who were also into astronomy and held positions in the Roman Catholic Church and other churches. And most of his opposition came from other scientists. And yet, if nothing else, folks, I'm demonstrating to you that your entire culture is filled with lies.
Fake news.
Yeah.
They lie and lie and lie. They do anything to push their own narrative. And the main narrative is that you're stupid because you're a Christian. The Bible's stupid. Jesus, if he existed, isn't anything like the Bible actually says. And you're an idiot if you believe it. That's their agenda. And Christians, because of this, they are very power hungry and wicked, and they're always trying to take over governments and kill people. That's the message. Now, that has been true of the Roman Catholic Church, and I can't deny that. But there was only one time anything close to that happened with Presbyterians, and that was a Calvinist city called Geneva. One city. Outside of that, they had no control or anything. The Anabaptists had an offshoot group in Munster that got pretty ugly. The Puritans, when they came over here, they tried to kind of set up their own Rome. And that's why it's funny. I was telling somebody again today that when people don't like Christmas, they quote Puritans. A lot of them are Baptists, by the way. Well, the Puritans would have banished you for being a Baptist. So there are some ugly moments throughout church history from other groups than the Roman Catholic Church. However, as far as Baptists like us, Bible-believing Baptists, that's what our heritage is. Our heritage is that we don't want to tell you what to believe. That's what a Baptist is. We believe in your own freedom of conscience. Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, and others, if you read their writings, will tell you that they based the freedom of religion in our Bill of Rights on the Baptist model. We've never, as Baptists, tried to control a government. Same presentation, he mentioned that 30 years ago there were people, and he quoted one particular man who said that by this time America would be controlled by a religious theocracy because of the Christian right. Well, I know that's not true because I am a proud card-carrying member of the Christian right. And I'll tell you right now, if a bunch of Christians ever tried to do away with our Constitution, I will be the first to punch them in the mouth. I will stand in their way. Because as a Baptist, I believe in the separation between church and state. But I also believe that doesn't mean that as a Christian that I'm to be discriminated against. I should be able to run for office, and if I want to talk about Jesus in the doctor's office, or I want to talk about Jesus in Congress, I am free to do so.
Amen.
See? But see, liberals have no real concept of freedom, and they're always trying to control everybody and control the narrative, and they'll lie to you, like this thing with Galileo, in order to try to fit the narrative that religion is evil, Baptists, evangelicals, scary, bad, just like Orange Man bad, you know. Mm-hmm. This is the final thing I want to show you before we move on. The problem, Galileo's ideas were looked upon favorably by certain influential churchmen and scientists, causing jealousy in his rival scientists. It wasn't the church and religion. It was rival scientists. Academic opposition to Galileo was because the quote-unquote natural philosophies were firmly based in Aristotelianism. It's easy for you to say.
Aristotle.
And he didn't believe in heliocentricity. So that was the battle. But it wasn't the church. It was scientists. So every time you hear that, you know you're being lied to. And I keep repeating this, 1 John 5:19. And we know that we are of God and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Amen. Now that word lieth there kind of means like it's spread out and covered in wickedness, but it's interesting that it's the word lieth. Lieth in wickedness. All right, let's sing this before we go into our Bible study.
Sing ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia.
Sing that one more time.
Sing ye first the kingdom of God.
Our study in Psalm 20, verses 6 through 9. We're going to close out our study of Psalm 20. It's been a few weeks down the road. I'd actually intended on doing this study before I jumped into Joel, and I forgot. So here we are. And yes, what was it Dan calls it? Dan has a word for it.
Old-timer disease?
No, there's another word. Can't remember stuff. CRS.
Oh.
That's what he calls it.
It is, too.
Yeah. So let's read verses 6 through 9. I'll have you read the even numbers with me, beginning there in verse 6. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call.
Amen.
All God's people say amen.
Amen.
So we pick up where we left off in our previous study. In Psalm 20, and you cannot yawn like that.
I'm sorry.
It wasn't you this time. That I call it the hippo yawning. It's like you can yawn, but just don't do the hippo thing, man, because it's contagious. I'm fighting it right now. Right now I'm fighting it.
It's what happens
when you don't drink the coffee. There's a Keurig, so that's a bad excuse. But anyway... We're picking up where we left off in our previous study, and if you don't yawn too much, I'll get through it. But verse 6 begins, Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed, and the immediate context of the king of the text is the king of Israel. And we want to repeat, context matters. Every time we teach, we're going to be on context. Right, Brother John? Amen? Amen. Now, It's a bad thing that's happened through the years with fundamental Baptist preachers, and they've a lot of times totally ignored context from time to time. I can give you examples of even my favorite preachers. And Jenny will tell you, I'm sitting there listening with her sometimes, and I say, that has nothing to do with anything. What they read doesn't have anything to do with what they preached on. But, you know, and I'm not saying that they're bad people or anything. I'm just saying that as a pastor, as a teacher, we're here to teach you the Word of God, not make it our own thing. And I've heard this anointed thing, not as much, but sometimes used by fundamental Baptists, as though it's something special. That Pastor Craig, he has a special anointing.
Yeah.
I've been told that myself. I've had people come up to me and say, you have a special anointing. And you know, it's tempting to in the flesh to just let it ride and say, well, you know, what can I say? But I have to be honest with them and tell them, I don't believe that's true. We'll see in just a second. But I don't believe I have any more of an anointing than anybody in this room. If you're saved, Amen. You're saved, right? Amen? You have the Spirit of God. So we'll talk more about it in just a second. But David here speaks of himself in this context. He said, now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. Why does he say that? Because God had saved him from death. You see, this isn't talking about being saved. If you're anointed, you're already saved.
Yeah.
It's not talking about being saved eternally. I should finish my sentence. It's talking about being saved from death or from destruction or from something really bad. If one of my girls almost ran out in front of a car and I yelled and she stopped because I was one of those parents that believed in saying no. And when I told a child stop or no, they didn't get a count to three. Yeah. Why? Because I loved them enough to do that. If you're going to have children, anybody in here going to have children, if you have grandchildren, you need to instill in them, when you say no, it's not on the count of three, because if I had done that, my daughter would be dead.
Yeah.
But she knew that when I said no, she could ask questions later. But in the moment, stop or no meant stop or no now. Amen? So words, things matter in context. And in context, saved sometimes means saved from eternity. But there's times where if you are thinking that way, you're going to miss the point, and it could be detrimental to you spiritually. There are people who believe that they can lose their salvation because they think every time the word saved shows up, it's talking about eternal salvation. And because it's not, they miss it, they then apply that and it messes up their theology. So scripture with scripture, let's look at 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 13, we're going to see this is about David. And we're going to see why he referred to himself as the anointed.